Sir, we would like to see Jesus. What a fitting, albeit ironic, phrase to hear as we come into church today. Everything covered, not able to be seen. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Those Greeks, not the Jews like all the first disciples, but the Greeks heard about Jesus and they wanted to make a connection. So they go to Philip and say those words, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." So we know what happens. Philip goes to Andrew, and together they go to Jesus. And then how does Jesus respond? Well, of course. Sure, the more the merrier. Well, not exactly. Actually, the response is very different. It's long. And I hope it's not irreverent to say, but it almost feels laughable. At least as I was pondering it this week, praying over that passage, imagining Philip and Andrew going with the Greeks, and they're going to Jesus, the Greeks want to talk to you, and Jesus giving this response, "Now is the hour for my glorification. The seed must be buried in the ground and bear great fruit. The voice booming from the heavens, and when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." And you can just imagine, can't you? The Greeks. Jesus, the Greeks. What? Are you saying yes? No? What are you? You're still deciding? Remember, welcome leads to educate. Educate leads to worship. Start with that welcome here at St. Mary's, and through salvation history, the Greeks go to Philip. This is not an accident that this happens. Philip then to Andrew. Andrew and Philip to Jesus. It can sound like a first century game of telephone, can't it? Let's see if we can get this message around the horn. Now, you see, Philip, it says, was from Bethsaida in Galilee. Philip, I didn't know this, I was reading Pope Benedict's work. Philip is a Greek name. And that region of Galilee is half Gentile. So evidently, they saw in Philip, those Greeks, they saw a mediator, a comrade at arms, someone that they could connect with, someone who could give them access to Jesus. And it wasn't an accident that Andrew was involved either, was it? Think about it. We know his connection. Andrew was the one who brought Simon Peter, his brother, to Jesus. He clearly was good at networking. What about us? What are our gifts? Each of us has some. Philip didn't wake up that morning and say, "You know what? I think I'm going to utilize my Greekness for the greater glory of God today." No, but God knew that that's what he was going to do. What about us? What gift has the Lord given to us that he's going to use today or this week, this year? How is he going to help us connect to others and connect them to God? It's part of the welcome. And then what happens? Well, we know that Jesus does welcome them because Jesus is the welcome itself. He is the one who came not to be served, but to serve. He is love incarnate. And he loves those Greeks just the way they are. But as we say, he loves them too much to let them stay that way. Education. You see, they just want to come and see Jesus. But Jesus is not one who's just going to settle for a superficial treatment. He's not going to settle to just be a celebrity. He wants it all. He wants them to be united with him in genuine love. And so he speaks of that seed buried that will bear great fruit. With the advantage of 2,000 years of Judeo-Christian history under our belts, we know that image, right? The burial of Jesus, the resurrection to new life, bearing great fruit through the ages. He wants them to understand that to be a part of this life is to enter into the tomb, but also then to share that new life. And then he ends the passage when he is lifted up, When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. He wants us all. When he's lifted up, we know, veiled though it is, we know it's the cross, right? Veiled in this image, we know he's speaking of the cross. But that the point of this is to draw all people to himself. Yes, Philip and Andrew, yes, you and me, yes, even those Greeks. For genuine education always leads to the cross. And the cross always points us to true worship. And Jeremiah spoke of that worship in our first reading, didn't he? It's an easy passage to remember. 31:31. Jeremiah 31:31. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. A new covenant. We know all about covenants in the Bible, don't we? Right from Noah and the flood and the bow in the sky and the animal sacrifices there bonding that covenant to Abraham and the covenant with between God and Abraham marked with the circumcision, and then David the king with the temple and the temple sacrifice, always with these covenants, not just contracts, but gifts of the self, always marked with flesh and blood. Jeremiah tells his people 600 years before Jesus that the Lord was going to make a new covenant with Israel. What's he talking about? I don't know if his listeners knew, but Philip and Andrew would have 600 years later, when he and the other apostles were gathered there in the upper room, and Jesus, reclining at table, takes the cup. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. New, ever ancient and ever new, and eternal, once for all time. Those words that are uttered at every Mass as we come to the altar, those words that represent the sacrifice that was made present there in the upper room and ultimately fulfilled on Calvary, that one sacrifice for all time, we come and worship in that. And what a gift, that new covenant poured out for each of us. It's a gift, truth be told, that none of us is worthy to enter into. And so we join the psalmist who says those words, create a clean heart in me, O God. We know it. We just can feel the funk of life sometimes. Lord, I'm not worthy to come before you. On any day, is there any wonder at every Mass we start with a penitential act, just acknowledging we have a hard time driving down the road without in some way sinning, but we cry out to God for mercy. Create a clean heart in me. Because it can never just stop with that one act. It can never just stop with a welcome. It can't just stop with an insight of education. It can never just stop with one act of worship. Philip and Andrew, they knew it, just kept going, right? Because worship leads to greater service and greater welcome, and that leads to diving deeper into education, and that dives into even greater worship. Andrew and Philip, they continued this throughout their lives. Both of them, you probably know, died martyrs' deaths as they continued to serve others, as they continued to teach the faith, as they continued to worship the one true God. Because they knew what the Greeks knew, that each of us longs to see Jesus. Each of us does. Tomorrow, we're getting to see him in a new light. From 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., we're going to be having confessions available right here in the chapel at St. Mary's. None of us can just come before our God and say, yeah, I deserve to see him. We go through intermediaries. We go through Phillips and Andrews. We go through those priests that will be coming because we need to have our eyes open to who's really there. Mary didn't. Mary was sinless. So we ask for her intercession. And Joseph was a great inspiration to us all. We give him this whole year. So we ask for their intercession. Our Lady of the Assumption, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us.